Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It feels really good to say that from right here in Wichita, Kansas, instead of all the way across an ocean in Benin. So today, I just wanted to share a little bit with you. I think most of you know where I've been for the last 9 months, but in case you missed it, I spent 9 months in a West African country called Benin, working with an organization called Mercy Ships, which has a commitment to bring hope and healing to the world's forgotten poor. And you probably couldn't see the children's sermon poster, so there's where Benin is. It's a tiny little country hiding right up there. I had a really great video from Mercy Ships that I wanted to show you because it's 3 minutes and it sums up the whole program. But I don't know if it was something with the storm last night. The internet's not working. The video doesn't work. So you get the short version. Mercy Ships is a floating hospital, state of the art, bringing first world medicine to third world countries. They have a fully functioning crew. We're totally self-reliant. We have mariners that keep the ship running. We have housekeepers and cooks and teachers because we actually have our own academy for the kids of the workers that are on the ship. The hospital has a lab, it has a CT scanner, x-ray, full functioning ICU, anything that you could possibly need. So rather than tell you just about what Mercy Ships is, I thought you'd be interested to hear a little bit specifically about what we do, the different surgical specialties, and what better way to tell about what Mercy Ships does than to share some patient stories with you. We have lots of different specialties. One of our first that runs for the majority of the year is plastics and reconstructive surgery. It's not like the plastic surgery you think of here. It's not facelifts and breast augmentation. It's restoring function to people who have had some sort of a dramatic injury, or removing large and impeding masses, lumps, bumps, things like that. One really great story is our patient named Mart. You can see Mart there. My dad didn't pick it up at first when he tried to just look at the picture, but Mart has an over 20-pound growth on her back that had been growing for so long that it was actually leaking fluid. So she didn't feel like she could go anywhere. She didn't have a job. She was really kind of a social outcast. So she came to us, had a massive procedure to remove that whole lump and then cover that area with new skin. And so by the time Mart was ready to go home, it was a long journey. She had some infections, stayed with us for a really long time. We got to see her really beautiful personality come out through that. And when Mart was going home, I don't know if you can see that, but she's got a nice flat back. And then we actually got to follow her all the way to her first trip home to see some of the people in her community that she had been a part of, but a little bit separate from. And this is Mart when she met all of the people in her community again. I think you can see the smiles on everyone's faces. The one woman in the corner, you can almost see the look of disbelief on her eyes. Like, is this the same lady that went away? So we really give people a chance that have been separated from their communities to come back and be a part of that community again. And then another major thing that we do is reconstructive surgery after burns. Burns are really common in West African nations because most everyone works with an open cooking fire. That fire is usually inside the home. They have a lot of lamps that are kerosene, and it's really easy for small children to get in accidents where they fall into a fire, spill oil on themselves. And then when you can't get proper care after a burn, what actually happens is the skin fuses together. So we see lots of kids with hands that are like this or contractured down, feet that are doing the same thing. We even have some burns in the neck, in the arms, so they can't raise them fully. So every kid in this picture had come to us, had skin grafting to repair that. So now they're gonna have a life full of time with normal function for those limbs. And they're all super cute. They spend about 3 weeks with us, so they get really used to the white people and really start to love on us and cling on us and play with us. So they're some of my favorite patients. We also do maxillofacial surgery. That's mostly tumors of the jaw and then cleft lip and palate. This little one here, her name is Ajijatu. She had a big growth from her jaw, and she was actually desperately ill when she came to us. She had a really bad imbalance in her blood because her tumor that was bone was leaking calcium into her blood at a really high rate. And she was limp and sick and probably wouldn't have made it much longer when she came to us. Our doctors thought about it for a long time. They got her a little bit healthier,
and they decided the only thing we could do for her was to try and take this tumor out. So they did that in a very long and grueling surgery, and here's Adjujatu with a totally normal jaw, because they do a metal implant when they have to take a part of the bone. I'm happy and ready for discharge. She loved stickers, which is why my friend Karen has a nice sticker there on her forehead. She felt it was her job to sticker everyone she came in contact with. And then another great maxillofacial story. This is Amadou. Amadou also came to us with a large jaw tumor. And we started to look into whether she was safe for surgery, did some tests, come to find out that she was pregnant about 18 weeks along. And her hemoglobin was only 5. Now, I know I'm medical, so for those of you that aren't, a normal hemoglobin is 12 to 16. We couldn't even believe that she was alive and had been able to walk in to see us. We didn't know whether to do her surgery or not, because of course, with being pregnant and that far along, it was really dangerous because this was going to be a surgery that was going to take probably 6 to 8 hours at least. But they decided, because she could no longer eat normally, she wasn't going to be able to breathe for much longer, they went ahead with her surgery. She and the baby survived that surgery and were sent home. And then she came back to see us this spring. And that little one in her arm is the baby that she was carrying. So I love her story, because we saved not just one life, but two. Orthopedic surgery. This is one of my absolute favorites, because like I said during the children's sermon, I'm a pediatric nurse. I mostly take care of kids. And orthopedic surgery is one thing that we only take care of children, because we have a lot better chance of restoring normal bone function because they're still growing. So this little guy is Rodrigue. You can see his legs are all kind of backwards. I can't even replicate that myself. He was a struggle. He was a little bit developmentally delayed, so he cried and had a fit and didn't like his cast, didn't like that they were white. Took us the longest time to make friends with him, but it happened. And that bright smile there is Rodrigue with two straight legs coming out in front of him at Christmas time. We saw patients like Valerie with extreme bowed legs. And by the time Valerie went home, physiotherapy does a little discharge dance with all of the kids that they get to successful healing for. That's a very traditional dance. So Valerie had straight legs and was able to do dancing like the rest of the mamas and the grandmas in the background by the time she went home. And then that's Devine. She had broken her leg when she was little, never had it set correctly, and so it fused in a position quite like that. She wasn't walking on it, but she went home like that. Those kids were the cutest, and they have the best pictures. We also see women's health surgeries, a lot of obstetric fistulas. This was something I had never heard of before I traveled to West Africa. It's not something that we see here in the United States, but it's incredibly common in West African nations. And what happens, it's caused by delayed labors when women can't get care. So they're having their baby, something happens, the baby isn't being born. They'll sit for 5 days, 10 days without being able to get to a hospital. And eventually the pressure of that baby sitting in the birth canal rubs a hole in between the bladder and the birth canal. And then these women after delivery, which most often they've lost their child because they had such a delayed labor, then they're constantly leaking urine. So they smell, they are usually divorced and left, their husbands don't stay with them, and they go and live. We heard stories of women that lived with the cattle, because then no one could tell that it was her that smelled. They didn't know it wasn't the cows. So these women have a lot of not just physical scars, but emotional scars as well. And so when we do their surgeries, it's a really simple procedure. We don't even have to put them all the way to sleep. When we do their surgeries and then wait about 2 weeks to see if they're healed, at the end of that, when we come to find that they have been healed, we want to do something to celebrate the fact that they've gotten not just physical, but also that emotional healing. So we do dress ceremonies during our Sunday services, and we give these women a beautiful traditional gown. We do up their hair and their makeup and put jewelry on them, and then we celebrate the fact that they've rejoined the rest of their community and really regained their womanhood in terms of what it means to be a woman in Africa. So these women, just they've got some beautiful smiles. I hope you can see that in those pictures. And then we also have a general surgery program. It kind of covers everything else that isn't hit in one of our surgical specialties. But one of the things that they particularly do a lot of is goiter surgeries. thyroid surgeries. So goiters happen in other nations because, unlike the United States and other advanced countries, they don't iodize their salt. And so then when you have a lack of iodine, then you get a goiter that grows and grows and grows until sometimes it's grown for 30 and 40 years, and you look like this woman named Adiza. Adiza came in, she was in her 60s, she was sitting in a chair, head back, struggling to breathe. We could tell right away whether this was a surgery that we needed to do. If you read my blogs and you read my blog about when I gave blood, this is actually the patient that I was able to give blood to. We do direct donation on the ship. We don't keep a blood bank that comes from local nations. When we know that we are going to have a major surgery, we call upon our crew members, and we're actually able to give blood to save the patients that we're taking care of. So in the middle of a shift, I donated some blood to her because her surgery was massive, but she came through it just fine. And this was Adiza when she went home. And then we do a lot of really great general procedures. This was a group of our patients ready to go home that had had hernia surgeries. They had had lipomas removed. There's some goiter patients in there too, the great mix of anything and everything. So there's just a few stories of our surgical patients, but we also do an outpatient program, which is our cataracts program. Cataracts is when the lens of the eye gets cloudy and then you can no longer see. It develops over time usually, so it gets worse and worse and worse until these people are basically blind. And then blind in a country like Benin means that you can't work, you can't support your family. You need a constant caregiver, so it's not only taking you out of society, it's also taking a family member to take care of you. So with a really simple procedure, it takes, I think, 15, 20 minutes. It's a laser that we can actually provide for these countries, so we leave behind equipment and train up a bunch of locals. We can remove the cataracts and put an artificial lens in. And this is a group of them walking out in a chain. It's right after their procedure because they have the eye covered. And then after about 2 weeks, when we know that we've restored vision, we really like to celebrate things on Mercy ships. So we have what we call celebration of sight. And we get all of them together every couple of weeks. And we have these celebrations, local dance, drums, and just a lot of praising the Lord for restored vision. But we don't all just see this in older people. We also see it in kids. It's usually congenital in those cases. It can be caused by things like measles and rubella that cause cataracts, but a lot of times kids are born with that. So this is actually a family where all three kids had congenital cataracts, which would have been absolutely devastating for that family. That was three children that needed full-time care, that had no potential to grow up and work and get married. But again, simple procedure. And there's those three beautiful children home and with their vision restored. So I did absolutely love the variety of things I got to do and love the life-changing things I got to do. Now you get to listen to me read, because it's a lot easier to say things like this when I have thought them out ahead of time. So you've gotten a little bit of background on Mercy Ships, my work for the past 9 months, and I'd like to move on to some of the things I learned from this time. I'd already agreed to give a message this Sunday when Chad informed me that the theme would be the Jesus Justice League. Being a big fan of the superhero anthologies of DC Comics, I got super excited. Then he told me that my week would be meet an actual Wonder Woman, and I was a little bit alarmed. Now don't get me wrong, I consider that a really great honor, and seeing the latest Wonder Woman movie was one of the first things I did just a day after I returned home, and I could write you a whole message just about how great Wonder Woman was, but I've got to give a disclaimer here. I'm just an ordinary gal. If you've seen the movie, think Diana Prince, not Wonder Woman, and I was blessed enough to get to go on an incredible adventure and serve God at the same time. Our reading today from Ephesians 2:9, when you read the Amplified Version, says of God's gifts to us, they're not because of works, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. All the stories I share of my time in Benin are meant to bring honor and glory back to God himself, the true healer and giver of life. I saw healing that I would call sometimes unexplainable and miraculous, and it served as a reminder that ultimately we're not the healers, we're simply privileged to be allowed to be used by God to bring about his healing. One of my favorite things about Mercy Ships is that they don't preach the gospel in a loud way. There's no requirement for a patient to be of a certain faith or to participate in our worship on board in order to receive free surgery. But we do give God the glory for how he provides and what he accomplishes on board the Africa Mercy. When patients ask why we do this for them, they're told that it's because we want to show the love of Jesus, and they're told about who he is. And like the response to Jesus' healing so often that we see in the Bible, time and time again, I heard of patients coming to faith and giving thanks to the one who provided for them. And how do you bring hope to not just an individual, but to a nation? You send out people who have been restored both physically and spiritually. Remember that picture of Mark going home to her community? Each of our patients has the chance to respond like the blind man in John 9. People hardly recognized him once he could see, but he told them of what Jesus had done for him and said, "If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it." Our patients have the chance to testify of God's goodness through their healing. I read several articles and books in preparation for coming home. I wanted to be ready to face the challenges of reintegrating into my home culture after experiencing a place so different from the United States. I, like my patients, wanted to be ready to come home and testify of the things God was doing in my life. But a blog by Girl Catch Fire hit the nail on the head. In her article addressed to friends and family on helping your missionary come home, she says, "Don't take it personally if your spoiling is conflicting to them. Don't be surprised if it sneaks up on them how incredibly unfair the world is. They know and love people who live in garbage dumps and scrounge for discarded food to feed their families. Reconciling the unfairness of their immediate access to healthcare, good food, and hot water is tricky. If they struggle with it, please know it's not a statement about you or your home. It's about their broken heart for the condition of this broken world." Could this sermon series be any more fitting for me right now? Last week, Pastor talked about Jesus' justice, that God's goal for his creation is to bring it back to right relationship, to restore justice, and to end the brokenness. And I saw brokenness firsthand, in poverty and disease, in Satan's power in voodoo, in social inequality, and in people living without hope. It's easy to be overwhelmed by the brokenness in our world. In each port that Mercy Ship sails into, I find the number of people that look to us for help staggering. I returned to the ship in August at our next port of call, Cameroon, and our advance team has already screened potential patients there, and they've registered 11,244 people that have come to us for help. And we'll have to say no to some of them, and those truths break my heart. So how are we as Christians called to respond to this? How does Jesus' justice restore the brokenness? According to Ephesians 2, a major part of God's justice given to us through Jesus, because of God's great mercy and love for us, is that in our salvation we are given life and created anew. And why does Ephesians 2:10 say we are given this gift? So we can do the good things that God has planned for us long ago. At Mercy Ships, we cling to this truth, spoken beautifully by one of our surgeons, that you cannot change the whole world, but you can change the whole world for one person. We serve one person at a time, one nation at a time. And this is how Christians restore the brokenness of the world, by doing the good things God planned for us long ago. At any one time, the crew of the Africa Mercy is about 400 rotating volunteers, and alone, none of us could do much life-changing. But through obedience, we answer God's call to come and do his work. And because of each person's small gift of service, there were 1,957 surgeries performed in Benin, 6,942 patients received dental care, and 1,962 local professionals received training to make their practice safer through our medical capacity building program. All praise be to God alone. Look what can happen when God's children do the good things he plans for us. When your life has been changed and renewed by Christ, you can bring that renewal of new life to others. Serving this past year has been the greatest honor for me, and I'm so excited to continue with this incredible job in Cameroon. I believe so strongly in the life-giving work that God has invited me to be a part of, and I'm so thankful for the support of this community at Christ Lutheran that has lifted me up in prayer, rejoiced with me, and been the family of God to me. So I finish today with a fervent prayer for each of us this week, that we should go to God with hearts overflowing with gratitude for the mercy and love he showed us when he gave us new life in Christ, as we ask him, how can I bring your justice into a broken world? And what good things do you have planned for me to do? Make me your hands and feet, Lord. Amen.